At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining us for your SmackDown post show for November 15th. We've got a lot to talk about. We got this women's U.S. title tournament to dig into. We've got bloodline developments. We've got our women's world title and our tag titles on the line in tonight's episode. So plenty to dig into. So much happening at Fightful as well. So much to check out on Fightful Select in addition to all of the scoops that we have. We also have voting for the Fightful Awards coming up. So if you want to vote, you got to be a subscriber for that. That's how we keep some of the riffraff out, which I think is pretty effective way to go about business. Also, you got Sean's Q&A back there. You got me and Alex Pulowski reviewing movies. You got us reviewing PLEs and pay-per-views behind the paywall as well. So head over to FightfulSelect.com and subscribe. Broke a ton of news earlier this week regarding ROH returning to Hammerstein, which was pretty cool. A Speedball Mike Bailey update, him joining AEW, which feels like a healthy move for any promotion to pick up Mike Bailey. But AEW feels like a good fit for him, I feel like, stylistically. So plenty going on FightfulSelect.com. Head over there. But joining me, as always, we've got Alex Cardoza with us. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I am doing well. We've got a lot to dig into.
Yeah.
I'm excited. We're headed into the holiday season. People are watching the Mike Tyson, Jake Paul fights, watching a 60-year-old and a YouTuber go at it. I don't know what's going on in this crazy world, but we got plenty of wrestling. We've got the Continental Classic on the way the day before Thanksgiving, kicking off again. Survivor Series, we are on the build to. Plenty of wrestling still left in what is the remainder of 2024. And we've got some super chats and humper chats already pouring in. Just Ricardo saying, it's Friday. You know what that means. Hi from work. Well, hello. Thank you always for sending those in. We appreciate it so much that you're thinking of us while you are on the job. And Brandon Rosen saying, who had Bronson Reed on their bingo card for tonight? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to talk about that. I thought that was a possibility. There's things I like about it and things I don't like about it. The return of Shinsuke Nakamura as well. So excited about that. If you are here to be tribalistic, watch how fast I ban you or put you in timeout. That's funny. But Alex, let's kind of start with this women's tournament. We had a couple matches here today that turned out to be pretty decent matches. We got to see B-Fab in action, which we haven't seen in a long time, but Bailey emerging victorious in that, which I think was a good call for that for sure. Notably with this tournament, no Raw talent names. Now, I checked in with Sean because I thought people were going to have questions about this, and stay tuned to FightfulSelect.com as more kind of develops on that. But he said, as of right now, it's just a SmackDown title, that he hasn't heard confirmation. Talent hasn't heard that there's going to be an Intercontinental title on the Raw brand. He hasn't heard that there's anything about whether or not the titles can travel or whatever, anything looks like that. This is just, it's a SmackDown title for the time being. We talked about this last week. I'd imagine that has a lot to do with SmackDown possibly headed to 3 hours, Alex, and the Raw women's division just a little thin right now to be throwing them in a tournament. But how are you feeling about the way these brackets are shaking out so far?
I'm okay with it. I'm gonna sit back. I'm gonna enjoy it. It's been a while since we've kind of seen the women be in a prominent role on the brand, and I think that we have our favorite, maybe, that we kind of are, yeah, looking forward to. I think that would be a great idea. I did mention last week, how would we get there? You know, especially since she's involved with someone. And by she, I mean Chelsea Green's involved with someone right now. So how do we get her to the forefront and take, you know, this title? But yeah, I like it. I'm going to sit back and enjoy this. I think it's time. I think it's time that these are the types of fights and things that we need to see from the women. I want to see them. I want to see them on my TV. Am I wrong for that?
Not at all. I think closing the gap between the number of men's titles and women's titles is always a good thing, especially when you do have so much talent there. But we do have Bayley, who emerges victorious tonight, and she will face the winner of Bianca Belair, Chelsea Green, and Blair Davenport. And the winner of Jade Cargill, Mee Chin, and Piper Niven will face the winner of Naomi Stratton and Electra Lopez. I believe they said that it's supposed to culminate at the big Saturday night main event show that is coming up on Long Island. So looking forward to that. Notably, like, two tag teams that are in this, right? Chelsea and Piper, for sure. There's alliances between Bayley and Naomi. There is the tag team of Jade and Bianca. So they're certainly playing with seeds of dissension. And, man, there's a lot of good stuff on the show, but they have gotten so lazy about doing literally anything without interference. That playbook couldn't be more stale if it was bread that was sitting out, like, in front of the croutons. This is getting so ridiculous, where it's like,
these are delicious.
I mean, yeah, no shade at croutons, but, like, when we talk, I feel like every week with both WWE and AEW, I'm like, why are we having these stale playbooks run out? There are so many examples in all of wrestling history that you can pull inspiration from. I'm seeing the same things get set up. And with the WWE banner, I see it 3 times a week. And with the AEW banner, I see it 2. So it's getting kind of old, but I am very excited about this women's tournament. I think it's going to do good things. I just, like, my kingdom for a storyline that doesn't have, like, seeds of dissension with a tag team or interference creating havoc. Like, it just seems to be so, so rampant. But the other thing that we got on in this was a return from Shinsuke Nakamura. I feel like him coming into the U.S. title picture is something that's a very, very healthy thing for that mid-card title. Him and LA Knight should be a whole bunch of fun, especially because LA Knight is here to talk a bunch of S, and Shinsuke Nakamura is here usually to hurt people. So I really, really like that development as well. I think that's going to be a fun and a different feud for LA Knight. So I'm so excited that Shinsuke's back. This is the first time he's been on the brand since he's been drafted. Like, I've been missing him. I really, really like Shinsuke. So are you as excited as I am about the Shinsuke return?
Yeah, I feel like he's been thrown in there as a kind of like a cog in the wheel, kind of just to see and what he can disrupt, so that people don't kind of just, like, shoot straight to, like, oh, this is going to be maybe a Carmelo future happening here. You know what I'm saying? Sure. I think throwing him in there could definitely put that monkey wrench in the cog wheels, right? To kind of disrupt everything that's happening right now. And you are going to see some incredible matches. Shinsuke versus whomever is going to be great. So moving forward, I'm glad to see that this title is actually on a pro wrestler. I'm glad to see that there's pro wrestlers fighting for this title. And I'm hoping to see some great matches with the great one, Shinsuke, who's back with the face paint, looking all mysterious and crowish.
Yeah, he does. He definitely does. Bad Robot saying, hello, favorite post show. Best time of the week with B-Fab, Bangs Fabulous, and Alex the OTC ornaments, tinsel, and clavicle. I love that.
Hell yeah.
I wish War Games was just Bloodline, not with Reed and Seth, too. We're going to talk about the overarching flaw of this episode was that they invented a numbers game that was a problem that they didn't have. Both sides had 4. Solo had said his weapon was Sami Zayn, and Sami Zayn defected to the other side, so the numbers were even. There was not a numbers game issue until they went out of their way to create one for kind of no reason. But we're going to talk about those implications and more. But Jay Stone saying that, ladies and gentlemen, going to hit like sweet potato pie straight from the oven come Survivor Series. think the swerve is he'll have Braun with him. We're gonna talk a lot about what happened tonight, but keep those super chats coming. We thank you so much for the support. Super chats and humper chats are our lifeblood here on our post shows. And please leave a thumbs up on this video. A lot more of you watching now than were at the beginning of the show. So I will just remind you to subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. That ROH news broke earlier. The return to Hammerstein is something that I particularly am very excited about. Important part of ROH history. The Speedball news that broke, also available to you for free, is a fantastic interview that Sean had with Kenny Omega. That's up over 10,000 views already within a day. The whole thing's available for you on Twitter as well. But Kenny is just one of my favorite interviews ever because he walks the line of being in and out of character so perfectly. They're building out this feud with Gabe Kidd already. And man, oh man, I love it. Just Mask Does Wrestling saying, popping in, watching Tyson versus Paul. Netflix sucks. Well, enjoy watching that fight. I know a lot of people are. I tried to get the Tiger from The Hangover to join us since Mike Tyson's not available. But we are going to...
A lack of fighting because Netflix continues to crash, so people can't even watch it.
Well, you know what? It's good that they get this out of the system now because millions of people are going to be tuning in live for that Raw debut. You know it. You know it. So let's get this underway. You know, that's a closing in on 60-year-old man. It's like, does Tyson sell some good punches at him? We'll see. But we're actually going to kick off this episode with this Cody Rhodes promo. I was kind of disappointed last week. We probably didn't talk about this enough because we already had a couple things to be negative about, so I didn't want to harp too much. But Cody's big appearance last week was literally just getting in an ambulance with Randy Orton. That was just the extent of his appearance. But he opens the show and he talks about Kevin Owens hitting that pile driver. A lot of people really liked that angle. A lot of people really didn't like that angle. A lot of people said the pile driver is something that has been banned from WWE. So the idea that they broke that after years and years is a good way to put Randy out for a while. A lot of other people said, I watch a lot of wrestling and I see pile drivers constantly. This is not so, so dangerous. Alex Blowski with a good point. He should have punted Randy Orton out of action. And I was like, oh, we were talking about that on Monday behind the paywall. The punt, which also got banned, which was Randy Orton's thing, might have been better. It would have been poetic justice. And I really, really liked that thought from him. But Cody says that Orton is now sidelined because of it. And he demands that Kevin Owens comes out. But instead, Nick all disappears. And he kind of acknowledges the severity of everything and emphasizes the danger of the pile driver. And announces that Kevin Owens is banned until SmackDown can resolve those issues internally. Cody's frustrated by this and says that banning Kevin Owens isn't going to work, that he's not the kind of guy that is just willing to do that. And he wants to handle the situation personally. And Aldis kind of counters by saying, this is about authority and control over my own program, which is something that continually we praise Nick Aldis for having on this show. So I appreciated that from him. And Cody just says basically he's going to take matters into his own hands if this doesn't get resolved. So Cody looking like he's got some fight in him is a good thing. Nick Aldis wanting to maintain control over his own show, also a good thing. Didn't really have a problem with this. It doesn't sound like this match is going to be on Survivor Series. This sounds like it's lined up for Saturday main event. That's not confirmed by Fightful, but other outlets are reporting that. My whole thing is we don't need another month of build to Kevin Owens and Cody Rhodes. Pacing of storylines on this show is continually an issue. This is slow. This season's always slow for wrestling, at least on the WWE side. I think the Continental Classic was a nice kick in the butt on the AEW side. But man, if this is not going to be at Survivor Series, that card is already looking kind of thin, and this does not need another month of build. What did you think of our opening segment? And are you with me that this match could happen sooner than later? Or are you excited to see the volleying that Kevin Owens gives back?
Yeah, I'm excited to see what Kevin Owens is gonna do here. it's different, right? It's because it's being it's like kind of separated. We're not getting everything in the ring. Everything's not happening in the arena. There's been consequences, so people have to have been separated. You're not getting your professional camera interview. Like, why would you have a 42 HD camera? And you're, no, he's talking into his phone and kind of putting it into, sending it in to kind of give his take on it. I grow old of Cody very quickly. And just kind of like the same old promos, all he does is just kind of insert different lines, but it's kind of almost the same like direction and the same cadence and the same thing. The difference today was that he just didn't ask anyone what he wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
So, you know, so I'm hoping this, whatever they're going to be doing within these, all these gentlemen, if Randy's going to come back from this horrendous pile driver, and, you know, what would happen if he doesn't, but we know he will. So I kind of want to see what this is going to look like. I mean, could we see a three-way? Like, there's a lot of good stuff that could happen here. So I'm just going to sit and wait. I can't like really give you like 100% answer on like what I think it's amazing or not. Just because they're kind of playing it out differently and having someone not really involved because they've kind of been, sent home like they did with KO. It's a little bit difficult, right?
I feel like they learned something in the Drew and Punk feud of both of those guys were injured and they maintained a feud for literally months, right? So I think they kind of are putting this on that same track. I have mixed feelings on that. We do get a promo from Kevin Owens later in the show. Mm-hmm. And man, Kevin Owens is the thing that Eddie Kingston has for me of just, I'm just invested. Whatever it is about certain performers that just draw you in, Kevin Owens is one of those for me. And he, like you said, is just talking into his camera and he says, you know, I tried to show up to work today. And you know what they did? They sent me home. They sent me home. And he says, and then they have the nerve to ask me to show up in Salt Lake City next week because they want to resolve this whole issue. And he says, you know what? Lucky for them, I like Salt Lake City. Cody, the golden boy, doesn't deserve this. Nick Aldis certainly doesn't deserve it. But he does say, like, you know what? Salt Lake is a nice looking place. Maybe I'll bother showing up. But like the realism that Kevin Owens brings to everything is better than fans deserve, honestly. Like,
he understands that there's stuff happening around him. He's a human. He understands that he acknowledges it. He understands it. He understands what the crowd is saying. Unlike the everyday pro wrestler that kind of just lives in this bubble of working the crowd and living the gimmick, brother. You know, Kevin Owens understands, you know, I know what they're saying. I know what the streets are saying, you know?
You know, that's such a good point because we talked about this last week of when I said we had a speaking segment that built to another speaking segment. We didn't have a promo. This is a promo because this made me want to see them fight. Like Kevin Owens, fight Owens, fight, always makes me want to see two guys fight, which is the point of a promo. It's to promote the match, right? So, yeah. God bless Kevin Owens for never forgetting that golden rule there, but some really, really, really good stuff. We're going to talk about the Bloodline through line all together here. And we're going to finally jump into this women's match. And I agree with Ryan Sully, who sends in a chat. Thank you so much, saying, hey, Kate, hey, Alex, that women's triple threat match was good. B-Fab had a great showing, in my opinion. Really hope Chelsea wins next week. Yes. This match seemed designed to make B-Fab look really good. I know Sean had said on social media that she's been putting in a ton of work off screen. So getting to see her get spotlighted in this was great. But Bailey has a belly-to-belly suplex and Candace tosses Bailey only to get caught with the small package from B-Fab. That was a really nice sequence right before the ending here. But you get this lion salt that B-Fab avoids and then kind of a clown car at the end here, but B-Fab boots Candace out of the ring and Bailey rolls her up with the three count. I don't normally love roll-up wins, but this one looked good and opportunistic and like she was trying to win a match and it wasn't preceded by somebody staring up the ramp like an idiot because someone's theme hit or something. Like this looked like she was trying to win a match and she did. So I liked this a lot better because it felt like it was set up to be transitional, and then she realized she could win with it. Bailey winning is probably the right call because you're going to want someone that is a ring general in there. But I really liked this. I like Bailey moving on. I like that B-Fab got to show out, and I like that Candice LeRae is getting more screen time. She's going to need to get some wins, though. She's going to need to get some wins sooner than later. She just lost to Bailey last week. It's kind of funny that they met again here for some reason. But what did you think of our opening match? I was glad to see B-Fab get an opportunity to shine here.
I was really excited about seeing her wrestle. Like I mentioned before, I don't really watch NXT at all. Unless it's a pay-per-view that I'm like really interested in watching. So when I saw that she was going to hit the ring, I was like, yo, this is a must-see for me. And she did. I'm not a pro wrestler, friends, and I don't pretend to be one. I did it. I dabbled in it back in the day before I joined the Marine Corps.
Were you a backyard wrestler? Or did you go to wrestling
school? I started like everyone else, backyard wrestling.
Hell
like,
in
people's
yeah.
backyard, in people's hallways.
Bro, I did not know this about you. What was your finisher?
The power bomb. I was a giant kid. I was 6'3", 6'4". So everyone called me Big Sexy before Kevin Nash was called Big Sexy.
Okay. I love this. I didn't know this about you.
I actually have Big Sexy on all my varsity jackets from high school because people were like, this is before like he was cool in the NWO Wolfpack. This is crazy.
Okay, you need to wear one on the stream sometime.
I know, I gotta go find it somewhere put away. But anyway, but yeah, I dabbled in it. It was fun. Then I went into, I did Jersey All-Pro for a while. So I was out there in Weehawken, New Jersey doing my thing for a while. Anyway, so seeing her wrestle and be really, man, she kept up with it. Bailey also did a great job of making her look like a damn...
Anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots, and you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere. But I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas Best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas, point your toes west.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Stud, man.
Yeah.
Like I mentioned, the women are balling as of late in wrestling, and they did a great job here. Bailey winning? Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah. 100%. Why wouldn't she win? We talked about it last week. It felt like she's been a little bit lost in the sauce a little bit. Like, I have no attachment to what Bailey's doing right now. And then she wins this, and now, okay, now we're moving forward.
Let's see where she goes, right? And she just beat Candace last week, so she probably shouldn't be losing to Candace if you're not going with a full team there. And B-Fab looked great here, but hasn't been on TV in a while. So Bailey moving on is the right call, but I really like that it felt like this match went out of its way to be produced to make B-Fab shine. Mm-hmm. That made me... very, very, very happy. Guys, keep those super chats coming. We thank you so much. We're getting a ton of support from you guys. Please leave a thumbs up on this video as well as we keep rocking and rolling. We do have the lovely Tina Keys who says, popping in to say a quick hello and sending hugs. It was a solid show tonight. War Games is shaping up to be interesting. I half agree with you. I am not super excited about war games as of right now. Mostly on the women's side, it feels very rushed and very unnecessary. I feel like the war games that would be there across WWE is actually at NXT. Those have very clear alliances that make sense with each other. On the main roster, you have people who were just competing against each other, buddying up for no reason. So I'm less excited about that. I also would have just left the Bloodline versus New Bloodline, unless you have The Rock coming back, which it seems like maybe that's where they're going. But like now the logical thing feels like Seth should be on the other side of Bronson, right? So I don't know what the deal is with this. We're going to talk about that more, but I'm always glad when people are excited about wrestling. I love Survivor Series and War Games just because I love Survivor Series and War Games. Like, I'll be excited the day of the PLE. I just feel like they've had a ton of time to build to this, and it's been a little bit iffy, but Survivor Series just feels right. It just feels like...
I think I told you this last year.
Fun.
I told you this last year. Survivor Series and Halloween Havoc were my favorite two pay-per-views growing up, watching wrestling from WCW and from, you know, WWE. It's the time of the year. It's a nice, cool weather. It's Thanksgiving, Christmas. It's all of it put together, and then you get freaking wrestling thrown in there where you can watch men and women beat their crap out of each other. Halloween Havoc. You know, with the theme, the way they used to run it back in the day. It's just all fun, man. It's just great. Hell what a yeah. great time to watch wrestling.
Hell yeah. We did have a Humper Chat that came in on Wednesday. So sorry we missed this late, but it says for the next SmackDown post show, which is now, what do Kate and Alex think about bringing back the Mae Young Classic as a tournament to crown the first women's U.S. champion? I think you very could have easily named this tournament the new Mae Young Classic, but that, I think... had its own special flavor and time. If you're going to do that, you have to do it right and really specifically. But I mean, I would have loved that. It just feels like they want to get someone crowned sooner than something as extensive as the Mae Young Classic would have allowed. But that's that along with the Cruiserweight Classic are two of the coolest tournaments they ever did.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on that? Would you have liked to have seen it be like this, all open to all kind of more format, or are you just like, no, let's just organize the talent that we
have? Yeah, I would organize the talent that you have, because then it just become a jumble mess. People will just start questioning why then in X, Y, and Z be in this. Why are we having other people when you have all these other women sitting in the back just waiting to do something special? The Mae Young works on its own as the Mae Young Classic, right? So having this the way it's set up, I think is absolutely the way to go.
You also have the whole WWE ID thing. So I feel like you almost can't do that because you've started saying like these independent wrestlers are the priority as far as we see in WWE. So I think like an open house is something that's probably not going to be the way to go. But we are moving along, guys. Getting those super chats and Humper Chats. We get this backstage that was a weird use of television time, to be honest, of the Street Profits talking with B-Fab and Chelsea Green and Piper Niven showing up to just mean girls them. And B-Fab reminds them that only one of them can be champion and kind of alludes to potential tension between Chelsea and Piper. And Meechin walks over with her kendo stick and they kind of even up the numbers here. That was odd. And it feels like they're telegraphing a tag program of some sort or certain alliances there, which would mean most likely that Chelsea or Piper are not winning, which is not necessarily what I want. I feel like it should be Chelsea or Meechin to take that mid-card title. I feel like that would be good, but I don't know if you have any thoughts on that. It was kind of just a bit of a transitional segment there.
Yeah, I saw her come out with the kendo stick. I'm like, okay, are we going to beat some people? What's happening right now? And then just kind of just like, okay, I guess not. So
Yeah. It was just a trusty kendo stick to hang out with. Maybe she stole it from the NXT show that was at the ECW arena. She saw that street fight with Lola Vice and Jada Parker and was like, I'm going to borrow one of those for the next episode of SmackDown. But we get LA Knight heading to the ring for what feels like it's going to be an open challenge, but we don't have the U.S. title on the line. He addresses the crowd, says that there's a real wrestler holding this now, alluding to Logan Paul not being there, that he's there to defend it. He dismisses Sami Zayn's invitation to join the Bloodline, which happens a little earlier. We're going to group all that together, but he basically says, go tear each other apart, new Bloodline mm-hmm. and old Bloodline. I have no reason to be a part of it, which I love from him. He's mm-hmm. focused on elevating the U.S. title. And Escobar interrupts here, accompanied by Berto and Angel. Very good to see him back on television. Feels like they were, I don't know if this is intentional or not. I don't know if this is something that the talent want or not. But it seems like they're just giving people breaks for when they don't have something important for them to do, which is not the worst. Like, keeping Correct. People fresh and healthy is not necessarily the worst way to go about business. But they kind of trade barbs here. Escobar says, talk a lot. It would be nice if you said something interesting. And LA Knight retorts, and he says, you know, I could come after you, but I already beat you. I can feel Berto looking at me. It's making me uncomfortable. So I'm going to fight that guy, which I kind of like. We get a quick 5-minute match here, which I have no problem with. There's not a ton of single stock in Berto. So this makes sense to happen the way it did. But you have a headbutt and an elbow drop followed by the blunt force trauma for the win. And that's when we have Shinsuke returning after. So I love that Shinsuke comes back with some intentionality here. That's really refreshing because he was just a really, really, really cool big loser on Raw. So if we can get him, even if he doesn't win the U.S. title here, him entering the mid-card as an important player is good. And then he can hopefully go get some wins against someone else. But effective segment for the U.S. title. I like that it's being defended more. I like the clarity around our mid-card. Your thoughts on this?
It was a wild ride there before LA Knight held the title. Kind of not where I thought that title would go, if you know what I mean. But I'm glad that LA Knight has it now, and I'm glad that he's defending it as well as he has. It looks to me like the U.S. title picture is going to be taken a lot more seriously, kind of just like the Intercontinental, because the Intercontinental on Raw is just taking off, man. It's a wild ride there, man. It's actually a lot more exciting than the World Heavyweight title completely. Like, I don't know why. Obviously, you know, they'll get that title elevated with more matches. But yeah, I do think that the Intercontinental title matches are great. And now the U.S. title is getting these awesome, like, and it reminds me of the 90s. Okay, because when I grew up and I was watching WWE, the Intercontinental title and the European title, light heavyweight title, all those titles were getting shine, man, every week on TV. So it's fun to see this. It's really fun.
It's funny you mentioned the Raw picture, because this is a SmackDown post show, so I don't want to harp on it too much. But I do find that...
I'm on the wrong name.
I do find myself agreeing with you that there's some more excitement in these mid-card title pictures, and I think some of that is the nature of the workhorse title versus the main title. Like, there's kind of the less often defended, bigger attraction title versus the workhorse thing, which is my thing. And I think maybe part of the struggle with what they're doing with Gunther is, one, they just keep running back the same challengers for him, and that's boring. Like, I've already seen him and Damian Priest, right? But I think at heart, Gunther is a workhorse champion, and they don't want to book that title like that. And I think they just should. I think they just should. Because
they have definitely given it a slow pace title. Like, which that's what they've done.
That doesn't feel like Gunther to me. Like, him calling Damian Priest street trash and stuff. Like, I view Gunther as this guy who's like, I'm the best wrestler in the world. I'll beat the hell out of you. And I'll do it against anyone, wherever, whenever, to prove it. I don't care. Send whoever the hell you want. And now they kind of have him like running away from Damian Priest. I'm like, what are you doing? But
yeah,
this chat from Rafael Garcia, you know, for someone who surfs a lot, I don't think Nakamura likes sand. I think he thinks, and watch this, it's coarse and it gets everywhere. I don't know. I bet you're right, but let Shinsuke surf. Let Shinsuke surf, okay? Guys, keep those super chats and humper chats coming. We got a lot more SmackDown to get through. So many exciting developments tonight, and we are going to keep moving along as we go to our tag match. And man, between this and the main event, I'm like, for the love of God, can you just give me something? Can you just give me something without, we're going to circle back to the Bloodline stuff momentarily, but something with a clean ending. Like, it's annoying because a lot of this makes sense. Like, I understand where they're going with it, but my goodness, like, get more inventive about ways to tell stories. This is getting exhausting, but the ending of this, a perfectly fine match between the Motor City Machine Guns, who are very over very quickly, which is good, and the Street Profits, who have been going in on this for a while, but you have Ford tagging in to set up that Doomsday Blockbuster and Ciampa coming in and causing the DQ. You have Ciampa after the match attacking everyone until Johnny Gargano comes down to try and calm everything down, but Ciampa shoves Johnny. Like, it is the most 2+2=4 kind of storytelling that you could. The Guns trying to help out the Profits here, which I thought was a nice touch in this. Like, Ford and Dawkins are pissed, but the Motor City Machine Guns immediately establishing themselves as, we don't want to be the kind of team that relies on short strokes like that. That is not the way that we go about business. So we'll probably get a rematch out of that. But my goodness, can we clean up the endings on some of this stuff?
Listen, it's hard when it's tag teams, because the tag team division has been in turmoil mode.
Yes.
There hasn't been a lot of direct lines of passages for these people, clear passages for us as fans to understand what's happening and why are they fighting, or who has the titles, why they have the titles, why are we flip-flopping the titles, you know? And I don't understand, like, even towards the end of that match, the Street Profits look like they should have, like, they were the heel team.
Yeah. Right?
At the very end, which I mentioned, I was talking about it before the match ended. I was like, man, I would really love for the Street Profits to go full on heel, man. Just, excuse my language, just bitch slap the shit out of everyone. You know, like, who cares, man? Like, you had something there almost with the Hurt Business. It was so close. We almost had it. They were going to
literally
be the baddest. Yes.
The only reason they turned face was because Bobby Lashley was in front of a Tributes of the Troops.
That's
Tribute of the Troops show crowd, and everybody cheered for him because he's a veteran and he rules.
I had it. I could almost taste this new reign of Street Profity that was about to happen.
I was asking for suits every week.
You were asking for suits. I was asking for them.
Heels wear cool suits.
The living crap out of everyone, and maybe we got a little taste of it, but you got Ciampa going crazy. You know, his tag team partner doesn't know what's happening. So I'm a little lost. I'm trying to follow the story.
Sure.
But too much happened there at the very end. It wasn't kind of clear for me because, you know, then you have the Street Profits also bitch slapping everyone, which I enjoy. But, you know.
Yeah, I'm excited to see the fire there. But, man, they've got to clean up the way that they tell these stories. And, Alex, some people got to be cleaning some other stuff up in their manhood region. Some people got some trimming to do around there. And Manscaped is what's going to get you there.
Nobody wants to see your hairy balls, so clean them up. Manscaped.com and the code FIGHTFUL is taking care of you. Maybe you're just looking at yourself and you're going, I'm too far gone. There's nothing I can do. Manscaped's got you covered. And you might say, but Sean, there's just so much. Where do I begin? Manscaped.com and the code FIGHTFUL. That's where you begin. That's where you go. That's what you do to figure out all this. Body wash, body buffers, shampoo, beard oil, beard balm, beard trimmers, beard combs, and then stuff for your nether regions. Ear and nose hair trimmers. What don't they have at manscaped.com when you use that code?
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Fightful. If you travel too much, you're like, I can't be bothered with that. They got the Go Bag as well. They got the Groin and Go Bundle, They have everything for you. Don't let yourself go by the wayside. Take control of yourself and your cleanliness. Go to manscaped.com. Use that code FIGHTFUL.
Clean up your bowels.
Clean up them balls.
Head over live to here. Manscaped.
Not live. Oh, never mind.
Don't do it live. No. Dang, I know
your
indie backyard wrestling name was Big Texy, but that's a little far.
Listen, that was my finishing move, the Pubinator. No. It only lasted a few matches.
Not the Pubinator.
No. God, that's going to make the rounds, isn't it? Sorry, Mom.
I love it.
It's going to get back to her.
That's my parents watch every post show I do, and I'm just
I
out here.
I am so sorry, parents.
Dick pills and Manscaped, but guys, keep those super chats and humper chats coming. A lot to talk about with this Raw. We did have two title matches, which was great. We had this tournament starting, so a lot of stakes in play. Very excited when we get to talk about shows that have a little bit more meat on the bone. And speaking of meat, Norma says,
yes.
Meat business has kept me from watching wrestling. What? But. Want to show some love to the BCC, SGS, and those who acknowledge the OTB, your original tribal beef. Meet forever, partners. We love you so much around here.
It's so much like innuendos and the meats and the beets and the beefs. Like, I don't know what's happening there, but
big meaty men slap meat. That's what's going on.
I tell you what, this is a Friday night show for everyone. For everyone who loves anything and everything
after dark.
And after we all know Kay loves her vegetable meat. Wait, that makes no sense. Cause...
I mean, it's like a meat substitute, which also doesn't
cauliflower
sound great.
Steak, yeah. Rice, delicious, a little barbecue and some sazon, you know, like, yeah.
We got Ryan Sully saying, did you notice Cole mentioned the Street Profits ally left the company, meeting Bobby? I like SRS's idea of a heel champ and face Gargano. That would be interesting. It certainly seems like they're headed that way. So Sean might get his wish. But I do appreciate that they did mention Bobby Lashley kind of vaguely, but that they brought it up because it does feel like maybe they were leaning a little bit more heelish today, Alex, to your point. Sure. And The last time they were heel was with Bobby Lashley. They just got kind of turn-faced for no reason, and then Bobby left. So where did that leave the Street Profits? They both talked online about how they were getting frustrated in WWE. Like, those things all lean heel. So I don't have a problem with them referencing the last time that they were heels at all. I think that's a good job on commentary by them. And you know, what I had liked about the initial time that they turned heel was the way that Montez Ford had adjusted his moveset. I was really impressed by how much he was able to pivot the flashy moves that are for fans into more violence and hitting harder and being able to make those in-ring adjustments. I think That's really underrated in wrestling. Like, Toni Storm impressed the hell out of me with that, too. Like, when she started doing this unhinged movie character, all of her moves and her behavior in the ring also went along with it. It's very frustrating to me when it's like my whole character changed, but I wrestle exactly the same way. Doesn't really make sense. So right. I applaud them on that. But Meat Ormus chiming back in here saying we're getting a preview of Meat Mayhem tomorrow on Collision. I'm going to eat nothing but arugula and blue cheese until then. May need to get the hose. I've said it once. I've said it 100 times, and I'll keep saying it. Meat Mayhem should be an NCAA Meat Madness style tournament for social media. It should include the meatiest wrestlers that are available. It should include Jake something. It should include Shingo Takagi from New Japan. It should be the meatiest men in the industry. And do a ladies meat tournament for all I care. But like, Do it properly. Do like an NCAA AEW YouTube style thing. That's what I
like think. That.
Thank you. Well, I like Bronson Reed a lot, and I got to see more of him on my television. Good and bad to this development, I think, that we're going to dig into. So keep those super chats coming. Leave a thumbs up on this video. Definitely helps people find us over 5,700 of you watching right now across platforms. We appreciate your support so much. And you guys spending time with us on a Friday, but we get Bloodline action all night here. We have them looking for a fifth, to which I said earlier, they didn't need a fifth once Sammy joined the other side. Like, that was Solo's big plan and it got foiled. Probably good to assume Solo has a fifth in his pocket, but from a creative aspect, they weren't trying to even up a numbers game anymore. There wasn't really a need for this, but you have Jimmy Uso walking up on Jay and Sammy earlier, saying that Roman wants to meet with everyone when he gets to the arena. And Jay reminds them that they need a fifth, to which I said, no, they don't. But we see him approach LA Knight earlier in the night. We've seen them approaching people all week on Raw, right? So some good developments there. But Sammy tells the Usos that LA Knight didn't work out and that things aren't looking good. He is talking to Roman because Roman's doing the thing he does where he like sits down and looks menacingly. He was talking, like Sammy was talking to Roman the same way my parents talked to me when they were like, they were not happy.
Yeah.
So very familiar. It took me back to when I was like 8 years old. But Sammy tells Roman that nobody on SmackDown, Raw or SmackDown, wants to work with them. And what I love about this, Alex, is they shouldn't. Like, Roman is super over with the crowd because he went away and came back. There is nothing that Roman has done differently that indicates that he is a changed man. He didn't really apologize to anyone. His behavior hasn't changed. And I love that the rest of the product, both locker rooms on the main roster, are underwhelmed. They're not impressed that Roman Reigns is back and suddenly we're supposed to be on his good side. I love that the locker room isn't stupid and that all the people that he fooled with numbers games and manipulative behavior before, they're not just like suddenly cool with Roman Reigns. I think that's such an important piece to this build. Have you valued that as much as I do? I think it's actually pretty paramount to the story that they do it this way.
Yeah, he hasn't changed. He's still the same person, you know, which is like you just mentioned before, his character hasn't shown any sign. I mean, even when he was super major heel in the ring, there was moments when he was talking to his family and like he was just like, you know, saying nice things about why Sammy's going to stay, you know, with them when that whole turmoil, you know, was happening between all of them. He was like, no, I believe in Sammy and Sammy's here for us. Like, maybe the tone was a little bit like deeper and darker when he was talking, but it hasn't changed. Like, he's still like, he's still like looking at people like, who's going to stab me in the back. Like, he's very weary of his surroundings. And I like that. It doesn't, wrestling has this thing where when you go from heel to face, all of a sudden everything changes, right?
Yeah.
Like, you it's like going from NXT 1.0 to NXT 2.0. That's, you know, like, I like the direction that they're going with him. And I think, honestly, with Roman, they're really going to hold him close to the vest. And sure, they're not, WWE, that they know that's his cash, that's their cash cow from here to whenever he decides to leave the company.
Sure.
And honestly, leave it. Sure. Nothing has changed. So why leave it like that?
I love that people are like, very, very much fool me once, shame on me, right? Like, or shame on you, and I'm not going to let you fool me twice. Like, I really have liked that aspect of this. So fully with you there. But then we move to the ring and Solo Sikoa can barely talk when the OG Bloodline come out and everybody starts brawling. Roman and Jacob have a really, really great stare down. That is the money. That is the money. But out comes Bronson Reed to attack Roman Reigns. And after a Samoan spike from Solo, Roman eats a huge tsunami, which was so much fun.
Yeah.
And after the ring clears, you hear Jey Uso tell Roman, make the call. At this point, I was thinking, it's probably Dwayne, probably The Rock, right? Ryan Tichini says, why Bronson makes sense. One, he started as a hired gun. That's what I like. Bronson Reed is the guy that you pay to beat up people. Totally in on that. He says, two, he wants to be a main player. Also true, right? He's talked a lot about wanting to be at the top of the card. But three, and arguably most importantly, almost inarguably the most important, the new Bloodline needs someone with long, lush black hair. Like, it's true. It's very, very true. So He is actually, he's Australian and he does have Samoan blood in him, which I did not know until a Chris Van Vliet interview surfaced that information. What I don't love about this is it kind of implies that Seth is going to be on the other side. And I don't think you need that stepping stone for Seth versus Bronson. And I think you could have just left this match at all the guys who are actually blood related here. If The Rock isn't going to show up, maybe The Rock shows up after Survivor Series. I think that's almost perfect. You probably don't want a guy with The Rock's, I hate to say it, like his age. And he wasn't like so great in the ring the past time that he was back. So him being in a War Game style match is probably not what you want to do. But I just don't feel like you needed to shoehorn Bronson Reed and Seth into this once you had evened out the numbers game, right? Like the chat saying, what about Sami Zayn? Sami Zayn is, he is a part of the bloodline. His last name is Uso. He was Sami Uso. But like he has all that story where he's already woven his way into it, right? So this felt like, I don't know, there's good and bad to it because I want to see Bronson Reed in this match and he's going to do some really fun stuff. And if there's a guy you're going to hire, this is the guy. I just don't love that that's how Seth ends up back on the other side of this when Seth had really, really good reasons for not wanting to join them that he stated on Monday. Like he had a really, really good call. So this is going to be the thing that gets him to forgive Roman is that Bronson Reed's on the other side. I don't know. I don't know if I'm buying that yet.
But we saw this with the Uso brothers, right? There was no reason for Jay to come back and hang out with Jimmy. Like he said, I'm pissed off at you. I don't want to talk to you anymore. Like I'm done with
this. Yeah, but he did also say like family's family.
Of course, right, which is the same
plot that's going from Fast and Furious. Yeah.
Right, which is going to come into play when you see that Seth has had this long-standing career and this family bond with Roman from the beginning. So when you use the words family's family,
Shield it's gonna family.
Happen. Yeah, ooh, the Shield family. It's gonna happen. I just don't see. I don't see any other. They want this to be big, and what other way to make this bigger? And it won't be the, like you said. It won't be The Rock. I think The Rock shows up, kind of like a right, like a CM Punk deal did last year. I think the show's over. Everyone's in the ring, bloodied up, cages being lifted, and then he comes out and he you know, he could point at freaking Roman and he, you know, with, I don't know why he said 1, 2, 3. I don't know what that means, but whatever.
I think that was saying he's coming for that title.
Yeah. I think
he did the thing.
Yeah. I think that honestly, Seth is the name that when you put this together, you say, oh my goodness, this is gonna be must-see because Seth hates him, but what can bring Seth back to the table is family. He hates Bronson Reed, first of all, because Bronson killed him, right?
But he beat Bronson Reed.
I know, but it's wrestling, though. You know, it's wrestling.
They should have had him go to a draw.
You're going to bring Braun in?
And
runs through the cage and all the cages.
Alex, this company does so many DQ finishes. So many DQ finishes. They couldn't have a DQ finish. No, this actually annoyed the hell out of me. Why did they go out of their way to have Bronson Reed lose the last Monster Standing match to Braun Strowman, like you said, and then lose to Seth in Saudi Arabia when they could have had. They love interference and they love DQ finishes. We literally saw it tonight. Why would you not have that? Why would you not have a DQ here? I don't know.
I'm telling you, next SmackDown is going to be the one to watch because the SmackDown after that is the one.
The go home.
Well, that's going to be taped. So, we might if people put stuff out there, we might know before it even happens. Because it's Black Friday.
Or they could do what they did kind of a couple pay-per-views ago and have like the go home for the angles be the week before and then the pre-taped edition was like the mid-card show out, which was fun.
Well, yeah. So some I believe next week, guys, this is the place to be next Friday night.
Hell yeah.
Believe you me, if you're not here right now, tell your friends, tell your grandmother and tell your sisters to come and join us here because I mean, a lot of women with me. Like, I just
You love the
women. I don't know what you want me to do. I don't know. I support women. Damn it.
Well, I appreciate that as your female co-host, and I appreciate 6,000 of you watching right now. We've still got our main event to talk about with our women's championship match. If you love interference, boy, was this the gimmick for you. But if you don't, if you wish it were nowhere to be seen, like your internet connection to the masses, this was not the match for you, but NordVPN might be the service for you.
I have long talked with you guys about the content that you can access with NordVPN.com/Fightful, but it doesn't just stop at pro wrestling. You can get MMA and boxing pay-per-views at a much more affordable price when you change your virtual location with just one click using NordVPN.com/Fightful. It doesn't stop there either. Football games. Man, if you want to check out those out-of-market football games, you don't have to spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars. You can get NordVPN.com/Fightful and just change your virtual location. How about baseball games? They make it harder than ever to actually watch baseball games. It is a task, not with NordVPN.com/Fightful. They got everything you need, in addition to all the threat protection and security that comes with NordVPN. But if you want that content, NordVPN.com/Fightful is right for you.
Guys, last call for super chats and humper chats. We've got Tom LaValle saying main event Ricochet versus Dante. That ruled. Duh. I'm sure. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that match showed out on the AEW side, but we've got a women's title match closing it out over here. So too are our super chats and humper chats. So get those in. I'm seeing a lot of people touching tips in the chat, which means that our Rampage review is over on Fightful Select, I'm sure. But let's get into this main event. Quick reminder before we do, the Fightful Awards, we talked about them earlier, are open. So too is sponsorship for those awards. You can email me or Sean, but email me because I get a commission if you sponsor them. I just got an email right now from two people that view the show and meet Normus and Ricardo that are trying to put something fun together. But it is $100 if you are interested in sponsoring. That gets call outs and social media mentions to our 500,000 follower combined social media following. As well as last year, we had 35,000 plus that tuned in across platforms for the awards themselves. It will be hosted by Sean and Denise again. Our platform has grown significantly since, so we're expecting higher numbers. Get inclusions in the YouTube description and the audio platform descriptions as well. So sponsor the show in general, sponsor a specific category. Matthew Hooks is in the chat. He sponsors our Tuesday night show once a month as well, but says it's a great thing to sponsor and great people. And thank you. We got great people that sponsor it too. We have everything from student marching band fundraisers in there to other creators to different brands. So feel free to reach out if you're curious about how that grows. We even have people that donate spots, which is like the coolest, kindest thing in the whole wide world, in my opinion. But we are going to talk about this main event as we go home to your safe and wonderful wrestling weekend. But we have Bayley walking up on Naomi as she's preparing for her match, and Jade Cargill and Bianca are in the back saying that they have Naomi's back. Certainly there have been a number of alliances formed in the women's division, and boy, oh boy, are they about to come into play in this match. We have a nice ending here, but it preceded by so much stuff. There was Naomi going for that split leg and moonsault that she does and does extremely well. But Candace shoving Bayley into the ring post and Nia Jax picking Naomi up for that avalanche Samoan drop and the Annihilator to win. Before that, there's just so much stuff going on. You have Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez laying out Bianca and Jade in the back. You have Bianca and Jade, Bianca Belair and Nia Jax headed to the ring. As Tiffany comes to hit Naomi behind the refs, and Nia Jax hits a leg drop in this. Couple headbutts in here from Nia Jax that looked great, but just everybody getting involved in this, which to me, I'm like, just give the women more segments if you have to shoehorn this much stuff in. I feel like it takes away from Naya's reign because of the type of champion I'm supposed to believe that Naya is, right? She's this, has a size advantage, a strength advantage on everyone. She's developed a really cool foundation that includes these power submissions. And now I'm supposed to buy that she needs all this help to beat Naomi, who can't buy a win to save her damn life. I felt like this match was made by Naomi showing out. She's a fantastic wrestler, but she's been booked 50-50 at best. Nia Jax is your champion, and she's supposed to be big, strong, and dominant over everyone. There is no need for this much goofiness to get involved in a title match against Naomi from Nia Jax. It makes nobody look strong. Did the Street Profits look good? No. Did Motor City Machine Guns look good tonight? No, because it was about Ciampa and Johnny Gargano and their friendship issues.
Yeah.
Did Nia Jax look strong tonight beating Naomi? No. Did Naomi look better off because she needed that much help just to hang in there? No.
Right.
No, no, no. This cheapens everything. And when you're cheapening a champion that's like Nia Jax, she's not like cagey and small and scrappy and needs help to win. She's a powerhouse. There's no need for this with her. So not my favorite, but Nia Jax retaining nonetheless. I understand the event that we're building to, right? I understand all that. But like Liv Morgan and Nia Jax were just enemies, right? And even on commentary, they were saying Nia Jax wasn't happy about losing in Saudi Arabia. It's like, well, now her and Liv Morgan are apparently best friends. So what are we doing with this? But that is how we close the show, for better or worse. I thought Nia looked good in the ring, and I thought Naomi looked great. I thought Naomi looked really great. It was just wholly interrupt as Batman the entire match. What did you think of how we closed out the show tonight?
Yeah, it was a lot of, when you look at it, a lot of close calls, too. You're supposed to have this, like you mentioned, Nia's supposed to be, and I was thinking about this as the match is going on. I'm like, the crowd obviously was behind it. You know, every time Naomi got close to a three count. And I'm thinking, why is she getting so close to a three count when she should just be ragdolling her through the ring right now? Right. Yeah. I don't think that anyone should be around the ring in any of her matches. And when you do have Tiffy out there, it's just so that you can have the disbelief that maybe she'll cash it in because Nia's just really tired or has gone through a hell of a match and maybe it's her time, you know, as we've seen before. And I understand that's the old playbook and that's the old way of thinking about it. But it's the most obvious thing, right, to have her out there so that you don't have all these interruptions like you had today, right?
Sure.
It's unfortunate because it kind of takes away from not only what's happening in the ring, but it's someone as, why does Nia need help? When, I mean, look at her. She's running shot through the women. She's selling Tiffy off all the time, right?
Yeah.
And you know, them two alone could have had a great match. Well, yes, Naomi could have had a couple close calls, but if you're gonna have interruptions, I don't think that having the close calls as well was needed. You know, I believe if there was no interruptions, then you have those like, oh my god, she's gonna win it moment. You know,
yes, yes, it dilutes the near falls and the momentum that there Naomi was
you
building.
Go. Yeah, yep. That's right. Yeah, there you go. You said it best and more eloquently than I could put it because you know I'm from a. Just the
what I do.
The old man who's Latino and still trying to learn the language.
No, I'm with you. I'm picking up what you're putting down there. I'm in full agreement on that. But very cool to see women main eventing. Very cool to see the women's title getting defended outside of PLE as well. I like when we get more defenses of titles than we've been getting. And we also have this mid-card title for the women developing, right? So really good and encouraging movement for the women's division. Just man, oh man, find another way to tell a story. But guys, that wraps it up here for our SmackDown review. Little hour-long review today. Felt good.
I love these.
Like we're zipping along. Ladies, it was a nice one.
I'm trying
one.
To talk to my amazing, beautiful host of a lady who controls the show and is my boss here. You know, as a producer, I have ideas. I'm throwing them at Miss Kate over here and seeing if maybe some of them stick, and maybe you'll see a little difference of a show here. I personally want to separate ourselves from our amazing family of shows here, where we kind of have our own little tone. You've done this with Alex and other shows, so I thought, why not? So
Are you implying that Alex Pulaski don't do a traditional review? Is that
1,000%? And I think that's perfectly fine.
We're an extremely normal review every Tuesday where
you
we sing songs
are
and
so extreme.
Do impressions and tell pun jokes,
but yeah, I mean, look, we did it in an hour. We hit all the major points. I think we're doing some, you know, great talking here with everyone throwing in their 33 cents or how much they want to put in for their super chats. I love it. I love it, friends. And I love spending Friday nights here with you.
As do I. We're going to get out of here. I'm going to sneak my plugs in before I let Alex wrap it up because he had a good show that he produced with Freddie Prinze Jr. And I want to give him some breathing room to talk about that because that made some Fightful headlines this past week. But I had a really, what I felt like was fun video on my YouTube channel that you can check out at Miss Kate Fabe. I had asked you guys what fictional venues you guys would want to see wrestling in. And you guys came back with, I'm not kidding, 150 responses. And I did a video summarizing some of my favorites. You guys threw Central Perk at me. You threw Asgard at me. You threw the McAllister House at me. You threw the Buffett Theater at me. You threw the Tron Grid at me. It was so much fun. It was so much fun. So head over to my YouTube channel. That video is like 20 minutes long. I'm trying to keep my content over there a little bit shorter. But it was so much fun to go through everybody's responses and talk through those. I think Bikini Bottom, once I broke it all down, might have been my favorite. But you can catch me at Miss Kate Fabe on that YouTube channel and on social media. You guys know where you can catch me here on Fightful Tuesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, right here on the main channel. Mondays on Fightful Select and for PLEs and pay-per-views, and the Mark Order podcast on Wednesdays talking all things All Elite. But Cardoza, I wanted to let you plug that was pretty jolly and a bunch of other things, but Freddie Prinze Jr. giving an interview on the show that you work with him on, talking very transparently about his own federation, which I love when people are just that open and honest about stuff, man. That was an awesome, awesome thing to listen to.
I am not an award-winning producer for no reason, Kate Elizabeth.
I wasn't saying you were.
I am known around these parts as one of the greatest, actually. So plain and simple.
Big sexy over here. You work a few backyard wrestling shows and you produce some podcasts and suddenly you're standing on your shit, man.
I was 17 then. I'm 40 now and I'm hanging out with the guy I was watching on screen for I Know What You Did Last Summer. Listen, I sat down, I said, I want to do this. I want you to talk about this. And I think that we should just let them know it worked out. Yeah. It worked out really well.
Awesome.
Like you said, Fightful picked up, we got a lot of it. And I'm sure there's a whole bunch of other places that have picked that up that are going to, break it down and kind of put more stories out there about it. I do believe that transparency is a great thing.
Yes.
It's what's lacking in a lot of, sometimes podcasts out there. And I think that ours separates, we are separated by the fact that we talk stories as opposed to breaking down matches. And on our Thursday show, we do Wednesdays and Thursdays. On our Thursday show, we kind of, on Unsanctioned Thursday, we kind of like to go off the cuff and talk about, you know, things outside of wrestling and within. And we're going to be doing more of that. But this one specifically, guys, if you didn't hear it, go to Wrestling with Freddie. Anywhere you listen to your podcast, and he's going to tell you in depth on who he spoke to about his federation, including Warner Brother Discovery. We speak about the streaming service that he's speaking to now, which obviously I'm in no position to tell anyone. Do I know? Yes, 100%. Am I in any position to tell you what exactly is happening? Absolutely not. But just know that you put your good vibes out there for all of us. That love pro wrestling. So anyway, yeah, go do that. I also do a show called That Was Pretty Jolly. We're doing the 12 weeks of Christmas. We're up to like week 7 or 8 right now. We just did what's that movie called with Arnold Schwarzenegger, Jingle All the Way.
Rossap favorite, I will say that.
Yeah, I did a whole rant there. People are hitting me up privately about my rant because they thought it was funny. So if you guys want to go listen. It is the holiday season. You can start with episode 1, and we're still doing more episodes until December 25th, actually. And then obviously you guys can catch me, go to my Instagram or go to alexiscardoza.com, and you'll see all my links in there. I'm on Blue Sky now. I'm done with the X-Fan website thing.
Threads,
Blue Sky, and Instagram are my go-tos, and everything else that I do is just all linked in my in my Instagram. So I honestly, I just want to put this out there. I really appreciate you guys supporting me, supporting the projects that I work on. And just want to throw it out there. After the holiday season is over, get ready because your boy, I'm just going to tell you guys first. I haven't told anybody or put anything out there. I'm doing another show called That Was Pretty 90s. And that's going to be with a very special person, friend of mine. You guys probably know him, and I'll drop that name soon. And
Yeah.
So that'll be fun too. And that'll be a totally different format as well. So you guys get ready for that one. Sorry, super long winded. I took like 3 minutes.
Okay.
I did not mean to do that.
That's okay. You know what? We actually have a super chat to close us out. And I'm so glad that it's closing us out because I completely forgot that after the women's match, Roman Reigns, who was told make the call by the Usos several times, calls Paul Heyman. I completely left this off of my notes because I had that main event match in my head. But he goes to call Paul Heyman, and Paul Heyman's number is out of service,
which
explains why he wasn't at the ECW Tuesday show too. But Brian Sully said, nice ending to SmackDown with that cliffhanger with Roman trying to call the wise man and the number not being in service. Heyman changed the number. Didn't bother to buy a new phone after Solo destroyed it. Destroyed a great review, Alex and Kate. I can't believe I completely left that segment
also
off.
By the way, the fact that he took that dramatic pause and call and then just stood there, because immediately I was like, is he going to take a deep breath and say Seth Rollins? You know? But when he said the wise man, I'm like, oh, crap. And then it went to, this doesn't exist anymore. I was like, ooh, okay. All right.
I also liked that I was like, he could call Seth, he could call The Rock, he could call Heyman. Like, they did a good job building to like, oh, there's a few people he could call.
Yeah.
There's a few people he could call.
You can call me.
He could have been calling Big Sexy Alex Cardozo for all we know.
I don't want to say that I probably play Call of Duty with him and his cousins, but you know.
Oh my gosh. Alex is
I dropped something again.
Oh my god, you dropped those names again, Alex.
Just call me, man. I'll be the fifth member.
Oh my gosh. We are going to wrap it up here. Thank you so much for the support tonight. We appreciate it so much. Have a safe and wonderful wrestling weekend. We'll be back tomorrow with the Grapsody and your Collision review, so stay tuned for those tomorrow. We're out of here.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.